Hello, hello, everyone. Welcome to the STEM Power Women Podcast. I'm your host, Brittany A.J. Maricki, the founder of Sisters in STEM. If you're new to our audience and don't really know who we are, Sisters in STEM is a multimedia platform aimed toward empowering women of color in their daily lives and their passion for science, technology, engineering, and math. I created this podcast to showcase empowered women, STEM-powered women. Today in the guest chair, we have Michelle Warren. We did an internship together in 2015 and have been keeping up with each other from afar, but still completely filled with love. She's going to share with us how she stays healthy mentally and physically while working full time. It's more than just eating right and working out. Whether you're transitioning from school into the workforce, or if you've been in this game for some time now, you know it's not easy. You spend your day solving problems and working with your team members, and sometimes you forget to take care of yourself. Not eating, not getting enough sleep, none of it is good for you. And ultimately, it will impact your mood and the way you go about life. Michelle's going to share with us a few little things you can practice each day to prioritize your health in every way. This was actually the first interview I recorded for the show. Can you believe we're already on episode 5? If you really like the show, I want you to let everyone know. Take a quick moment to give a 5-star rating and write a review to show some love. And don't forget to use the code STEMPOWER20 at sistersinstem.org/shop for 20% off of our awesome shirts. All right, enough with the announcements. Let's get to it. Say hello, Michelle.
Hello. Thank you so much for having me.
I'm glad to have you here. When I first started the blog for Sisters in STEM, I reached out to her first, and she wrote the first article on the website, and now she's the first guest for the podcast. I'm so excited.
Yes.
Now, tell us a little bit about you. What do you do?
Okay, so again, I'm Michelle Warren. I'm an electrical engineer at the Boeing Company. I work in Boeing Research and Technology on communications and sensing technologies. And I graduated from the Howard University in 2016.
Hey.
And moved all the way out here to Seattle to start my life. So, yeah.
Nice. And how long have you been working with Boeing? Was that straight after school?
Yeah, that was straight after school. I've been with Boeing since actually July 22nd, 2016. I still remember the day.
Oh my goodness. You are coming up on an anniversary.
I am.
I'm sure that everything that you have been doing out there has kept your schedule extremely busy. Mm-hmm. It has to take a toll on you mentally, physically, and spiritually. What are you doing to keep up your health?
Yeah, so exactly. I want to describe health and what it really means to me before I dive into what I do to keep healthy.
Okay.
So health for me, it's when I think about what humans need in order to live. When I just think about, you know, way back to hunter-gatherers, I think about what are the things that we need to be healthy. We need to sustain ourselves. So we need to, you know, survive. And we also need to maintain mutually beneficial relationships. There's a reason. I always say there's a reason why we're not here on Earth alone. It's because we have to work together. We have to overcome obstacles together as a team. We have to be a team and group up with like-minded individuals. So just even that side of like the side of health that says that your relationships ought to be mutually beneficial, you know, your relationships need to also be healthy because that can have damaging effects on your mental, emotional, physical, your spiritual. So I think it's really important to do both. Both survive, you know, eat, sleep, do the survival things that you need as a human, and also maintain these healthy relationships.
Nice. Mm-hmm. Now, when you're maintaining healthy relationships, is this within the workplace or is this within your family, friends?
Yeah, it's like anyone that's around me, anyone that I let come into my circle, because whoever's going to be in my circle is going to influence me, even if it's subconsciously, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So I need to make sure that the people planted around me are there on purpose, and they're there you know, with my best interest at heart, and I'm there with their best interest at heart. And so we're not causing tension, more tension in life. We want to get rid of tension. Tension doesn't have any place in health, you know?
I agree.
We don't want the pressure, right? We want nice, calm, mutually beneficial, you know, understanding relationships. And I think that's important at work, you know, just understanding other people, how to talk to them, what they're, you know, different people are different. Some people might be a little shy, you know, so you don't want to give them recognition in front of everyone because that's not the way that they would appreciate it. Or some people, you know, are hot tempered. So you got to watch what you say around people. It's just like you're trying to maintain the harmony when it comes to your interactions with other people. And I think that's like really a sign of health, that you're a healthy individual and you have a healthy mindset. And when we go back to sustainability, like, you know, even keeping up passion projects, just having your things that you're interested in and you're investing in yourself all the while investing in your future. And that's how you stay healthy. It's really important to be mindful of yourself when you're evaluating your health.
That is very true. What are some of the ways that you try to stay mindful? And when is it best for others to practice mindfulness?
Yeah. Okay, so one really practical way that I try to stay mindful is writing to-do lists. I also highlighted to-do list in my article for you listeners if you haven't read it. But I talked a little bit about how writing a to-do list really helps you to organize your thoughts and organize the things that you need to get done so that you can start to prioritize and be really diligent about getting the things done. It can be overwhelming when your brain is not organized. So when it comes to like mindfulness, you know, just taking the time to observe your surroundings, even for a second, you know, you don't have to like change your whole lifestyle to have a mindful lifestyle. Or let me go back because I haven't really described what mindfulness is. Mindfulness is when you can understand your environment from outside of your personal, whatever is going on in your personal life, or, you know, personal feelings, attachments to things. It's when you can take a step out of yourself and see things for what they are. So if you're at work and you're feeling like, you're feeling really drained, you're feeling overwhelmed, or you're feeling like, you know, I just keep going, or you're feeling like, this job is kind of stagnant, I'm not feeling motivated, it's always good to try and take a step back and for maybe even 10 seconds, 15 seconds, just notice your breathing, notice sounds that you hear.
That is very true.
Yeah, it brings you back down.
Because if you have that moment where somebody just made you upset at work and you're like, man, I cannot take another moment of being here.
Right.
Take a step back. Be mindful of the entire situation.
Yes.
And then pay attention to your breathing. Pay attention to what really triggered you in that moment.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. Because you need to remain grounded wherever you are. You know? We come out of our comfort zone and we have to go into these places that are uncomfortable, because I'm not the most comfortable person when I'm at work, you know? I would rather be at home on my couch in my pajamas. But, you know, wherever you are, you have to feel okay with being there and being grounded. So it just, it brings you back to, okay, there's a bigger purpose to this. There's a bigger thing that's going on around here. And these things are bigger than my own personal experiences. So let me just hop out of me real quick, observe what's around, and then I can get back to me like in 10 seconds.
Mm-hmm.
And so I really think that like even practicing that for little split moments in the day, it just helps to grow you as a listener and a leader. Because when you're able to hop out of yourself just for that moment of mindfulness, then you'll be able to hop out of yourself when a coworker comes to you with a complaint, or someone needs something from you pretty urgently, but you've already got your tasks laid out, you know? So it just helps you to kind of understand the bigger picture. I'm really a micro person. Like, I like details.
Oh.
My boyfriend has pointed this out to me that, you know, he's macro and I'm micro because, you know, if we have a situation, I will look at, well, what were the details that led to that rather than what is the overall problem that, you know, this is an example of. So it's like on a micro scale, doing these little, you know, paying attention, observation and listening activities, it really helps your team to know that, you know, they can trust you. They can come and talk to you. They know that, you know, you'll seek understanding for whatever they're talking about, whatever kind of design they want to, you know, come up with. You'll ask the right questions because you're actively listening, and they'll know that you're a leader because you're a listener.
That is true. And you, based off of what you're saying, you need a mixture of both in order to make sure your team is running smoothly. You can have the person who can see the big picture of what it is that you need to get done, but then also you need that micro person who will be able to pay attention to those details, make sure that we cover every single step, and, oh, there's this one piece that we forgot to do. Make sure we all get this done in order to continue to push forward. That's good.
Exactly, exactly.
That's really good.
So we definitely need that. We need to be conscious of things going on around us, even outside of us, to stay healthy. That's just part of, you know, that's part of that sustainability. If we go back to making sure that you're good, you know, understanding yourself, understanding your own needs, understanding your expectations from yourself and your expectations of others, and even being able to come out of yourself and see what others expect of you, and just bringing it all together so that you can have a very wholesome and harmonizing work environment. It really adds to your health.
I agree. And then you can take that same, those same practices and apply it in both the workplace and in your personal life. Or even if you have passion projects on the side, apply it to that. Because a lot of times, even if, like for me with Sisters in STEM, I have to make sure I'm looking at both micro, macro, and being mindful of the whole situation. So I'm taking notes. I am definitely taking notes right now. So you're over here staying mindful of yourself, trying to sustain your health. What are we eating? Right. How are we doing this? Are you eating? Because sometimes we get so busy. I know when I get into a project, I'm like, I can't eat right now. Right. I need to get this done. Yeah. But that's not going to help me in my health or help me in my mental health.
That is
what is your take on it?
You know, I'm really guilty of skipping lunch too. So all of these points that I'm listing are like, you know, I'm calling myself to be better. I try these things. I'm not, you know, I'm not perfect, but this is the kind of lifestyle that I'm understanding that I need to have. So I did a 6-week challenge actually for CrossFit. And in this CrossFit challenge, there was an eating challenge. And we did, the eating challenge was interesting. It wasn't your typical, you know, eat this meal, then eat this snack, then eat this. It was more like, okay, for all of the meals and snacks of the day, where did you eat your food? Did you eat it at a table designed for eating? Or did you eat it at a desk? You know, did you eat it with electronics? Were you looking at electronics or a screen? Were you engaging with other people at a table? You get different points for different things. So you actually get minus points for looking at a screen and, you know, eating in the car and stuff like that.
Interesting.
So, yeah. So the challenge just kind of brought to the forefront of my mind that, hey, I'm not really eating. And it's back to mindfulness. I'm not really eating mindfully, you know. I'm eating and just trying to, you know, hurry up and consume this, not really paying attention to my needs, but trying to pay more attention to, you know, the needs of others and the needs of the company, and not taking that time out for myself. But you know, when I started to, I actually wanted to get, you know, points, you know. So I would sit at the table. I would eat food that I made at home. That was also one of the things, you know, did you buy the food? Did you cook it at home? Did you, is it reheated or did you just cook this food? And, you know, you know, I would eat at the table with my other coworkers, and we would not talk about work because I would say, hey, I'm doing this eating challenge and I can't talk about work when I'm at lunch. So let's talk about something else.
Hmm.
We were able to team build just over lunch, mm-hmm. you know, a 30 minute, something that you have to do every day. You're able to get closer to your team. You're able to take a break from the mental load of work.
Mm-hmm.
And just really like bring back together, hey, this life is not all about work. This life is about living life. This life is about being healthy and building relationships.
No, I completely agree. I'm guilty of that. My lunch break, if I don't have to work on a project while I'm eating, I will be working on Sisters in STEM. And then even after work, you're like, oh, this is my time to take for me, but then you also want to watch TV during that time, or oh, someone's like, oh, let me scroll Instagram. You know, we are always consumed in something else rather than let me take this moment to recharge my body. Let me take this moment to actually be in my thoughts and focus more so on this meal that is trying to sustain my body rather than what's happening outside.
Exactly. And even, you know, even when it comes to what you are eating and how often you're eating. I found that when I was making the conscious effort to cook the meals that I eat, there was some feeling that was going on when I was cooking, when I was chopping, when I was boiling, when I was, you know, just the rhythm of being in the kitchen.
Mm-hmm.
It added to that grounding that I needed. And so then when I ate my meal, I was like a feeling of gratefulness that I can't feel when I get a double quarter pounder with cheese from McDonald's. So it's like, you know, it just brings it back to, hey, like, we're human. Like, we need to eat. We need to be thinking about what we're eating. We need to eat often. We need to eat snacks. We need to be having conversations with other people, you know, at the dinner table. It mm-hmm. just brings it back to, like, being, you know, being there, being all the way there, being healthy. These are things that make you feel better.
Mm-hmm. And if you think about it, years before all of this technology had been introduced, the dinner table was the family table. That was where you got a chance to catch up with everyone. That was your Instagram feed. You were fine. Oh, you did this today? Okay. You didn't have to look through nobody's story. You just got a chance to talk to the people who were around you.
Exactly. Exactly. And it brings you back to people and camaraderie and relationships and
mm-hmm.
all of the things that we do these things for.
I completely agree. So how is the, by making sure that you're staying mindful, focusing on your food, doing your thing, how is that helping you recharge?
Yeah, it's so important to recharge. It's absolutely important. Just, you know, that mindfulness check, that is like a, you know, how am I breathing? That's a quick check to see, you know, how is myself doing when you're, you know, you're eating and you're thinking about the foods that you're actually ingesting. Do they give you energy? Are you eating for fuel or are you eating to get the itis, you know?
The itis will mess up every piece of productivity you have. Catching the itis, or even if you drink wine.
Exactly.
For me, since I don't drink that much, just drinking a little bit of wine, I'm like, ooh.
Yes.
Oh, it's time for bed now.
Exactly. You got to think about, you got to think about if you're going to go to lunch with, you know, your team, are you going to get that chicken fried steak or mashed potatoes?
Uh-uh.
Are you going to get the meal that's going to refuel you to go back and do the work that you want to do?
Uh-uh.
So, you know, just thinking about all those things and it is so important to recharge. So by recharging, you know, when you come home in that evening or the afternoon, you know, some people need to recharge differently. Some people, if you think about like introverts versus extroverts, like some people need to be around friends and gather at places, go to happy hours to recharge, to just feel like, you know, I'm still part of this community and this energizes me. And some people need to come home, completely be in a cocoon, not talk to anyone, you know, take a bubble bath, whatever you need to help you to be re-energized to continue to do the awesome work that you're doing. You have to do that, and you have to make sure that you make time. It's, there's a lot of times where, like, I'll just go. I like to get pedicures.
Okay.
And there are a lot of times when I just go a long time without getting a pedicure. And I gotta say, I'm guilty of it right now. But I'm going to get my pedicure today.
Okay.
Because that re-energizes me. It re-energizes me to just sit and let someone do something for me, you know, pay someone for their service, give them a tip, and feel pretty. So this is the thing that I like to do. Everyone has whatever they want to do to recharge. You have to make sure that you're getting sleep. I know that a lot of people, they're like, you know, how are you supposed to excel at work and have a poppin', you know, social life and eat well and drink water and do all of these things and sleep 8 hours a night? How are you supposed to do it all? You can do it. You can really do it if you make the conscious effort. Now, you don't have to, if you're going to, you know, the Monday happy hour and the Tuesday and Wednesday, Thursday and Friday, you can't really expect to get those 8 hours of sleep every night. You know, you have to your expectations realistic. But if you're, you know, setting a goal and you're trying to stick with it, you're trying your hardest, you know what time you want to wake up and you know what time you want to be to work, then you need to know what time you need to, like, get ready to go to bed.
Mm-hmm.
And it just helps, you know, it sucks when it's nighttime and you want to stay up and you want to watch this show or you want to be with, you know, hang out with this guy or, you know, you want to do things at night. But it feels so much better when you wake up in the morning and you feel refreshed than when you wake up in the morning and you just want to turn around and lay back down. So it's really important to make sure that you're not only, like, re-energizing yourself with things that you like to do, but recharging with sleep. We need sleep. There's no way around it. 5-hour energy is not going to help. Red Bulls, coffee, they're temporary band-aids, but you need sleep.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how you live that healthy lifestyle. And it shows at work, you know? I had a coworker actually come to me, and we were just sitting at lunchtime, and I was going to take, I got a wrap from the cafeteria, and I was just going to take my wrap onto the airplane and continue doing work. But one of my coworkers, he was sitting outside, so I went to sit by him while I was eating, and he just started talking about burnout. We just got into a conversation about burnout, and I could tell that he noticed that I was starting to feel a little burnt out because he highlighted some actions that I was doing, like, you know, not having time to talk to people and just kind of, you know, showing up and being halfway there because your mind is focused on many other things.
Mm.
So there were two things that I got from that conversation. One, people are very observant and they're going to know if you're not taking time out for yourself and your health, and it's going to show at the workplace. And so it'll show most often in your work, you know, your mind will be on something else. Or you will lack creativity because you haven't gotten enough sleep or whatever the cause may be, it'll be noticed. And then two, your coworkers want to, you know, they want you to be healthy. that's a fact that, you know, people don't really think about. They think about, my coworkers don't really care about me. We just have to get the work done. But hey, who wants to get the work done with somebody that's not healthy, up to par to do the work, to actually do it and to do it happily and just, you know, very team focused, team player, team minded and open to new ideas. And, you know, you gotta be tip top shape to work on a team. So I think that it's really important to bring it back to recharging. Like, it's really important. People will notice if you don't recharge.
That's interesting. Mm-hmm. You got me over here thinking, am I burnt out? Because I'm sure whatever things he pointed out to you were probably things I do on a regular basis, not having time to talk to folks because I'd rather be working on something else or not sitting there socializing. Oh, especially going into the kitchen. I don't know if you guys have a kitchen, but I'll go into the kitchen thinking, and that little voice in my head would be like, don't talk to me. Don't talk to me. I don't want to socialize right now. I just want to get my water and I want to go.
Please don't start the small talk conversation with me right now. I'm trying to get back to my desk.
And I even feel bad because when I want to help people, but I have so much going on, and it'll change your attitude a little bit. You'll be thinking, I don't have time for you because I need to make more time for me and whatever else I have going on. And we need to make sure we have that happy medium between what we have going on and still having time for others and still having time for ourselves.
That's right. Exactly right. So that's why you have to have that harmony.
It's a crazy balance.
Yeah, it's a crazy balance. It's hard to get to. But once you do, and the days that you do, give yourself a pat on the back because – you know, a day of healthy living is a major accomplishment, and that's progress in the right direction. Every day is not going to be sunny and just tip top, like everything is great. But the more that you actually put forth the effort to live the healthy lifestyle, it'll show in your work, it'll show at the workplace, and you'll just feel better.
I think a lot of us need to stop being so hard on ourselves. I'm more so saying a lot of us, but I just mean me. Because I'll get so much done at work. I'll do things for Sisters in STEM, but then I'll also say, but I didn't get this done. Mm-hmm. And I didn't get that done. Mm-hmm. And then I'll push it off to the next day, and then I'll get XYZ done, but then I still didn't get I'll get ABC done, but I didn't get, you know, XYZ.
Right.
So it'll still get on my nerves a little bit. I'll be mad at myself and be like, why are you mad? You are doing so much. You are doing a great job. So I'll just look in the mirror and be like, Brittany, you're good.
Yeah.
You got this. Yeah. And I'm like, okay. You sure, Brittany? I'm like, yeah, Brittany, you got this.
Yes, you absolutely need to do that. And you know what? It's normal and natural for you to say, oh, well, I didn't get this done, even though you got A, B, and C done, because we have this thing in our brain. It's called loss aversion. And we look at the things that we didn't do, or we look at our flaws, even if we're looking in the mirror, and we can find those little, you know, negative points very easily and pull those out, because we try to grab out, you know, what would be lost, what would be, you know, what is negative, what's minus. And it's just like a redirection of your focus, like you just said, you know, talking to yourself to say, hey, Brittany, you're all right. And it's that refocus that brings us back to, hey, well, I did get X, Y, and Z, or I did get A, B, and C done. So that's progress. I'm moving in the right direction. Mm-hmm. And as long as you're moving in the right direction, then you will have success.
We're gonna be all right.
Yeah.
So what are some of the things that you like to do? Because, you know, everyone thinks that if you're a girl in STEM, then you're just that nerdy person. You don't really do anything. I want to make sure we break that stigma. Let them know that we are fly. We do a lot of stuff. It is not just over here clickety-clacking on a computer or working in a science lab.
Right.
So what do you do?
I like to do a lot of things. So I'm going to just pick out the most important things to me. I love music so much. I love to play musical instruments. I've been playing the violin since I was in fifth grade, and I picked up the upright bass in eighth grade and the cello in ninth grade.
Okay.
So now I don't have my violin, but I've sent my violin to my little sister, who's following in my footsteps, and I just have my cello at home. So I play my cello. I just like to play by ear. I like to listen to hot songs that are out that I like and just, you know, play along with them. I kind of call it cello karaoke. and so that's one of the things that's really major for me. Two, I just love to create. So I like to grab things from the thrift store and alter them, or just grab some fabric and make little stitches and make clothes for myself. I can't really draw or paint, but I like to paint. and I just like to create, you know, video. I like visuals. I like cartoons. I would call myself more of a director, though, because I like to get the idea into my mm-hmm. head and plan it out. And then I want someone else to execute. uh-uh. And then the last thing. So I'm really into staying connected with the community and just understanding our traumas and growing past our traumas. And so I read a lot about Black history, and I read about even ancient Black history. I read about, you know, from 1460 BC to now. And I read about Egyptian, you know, spirituality. I like to take a lot of information from a lot of places so that when it does come time for me to raise up children, or even in my mentoring or outreach that I love to do, like I want to just be able to feed and plant a seed of, okay, I'm Black, I'm excellent, this is my history. Now that I know my history, I can move forward, you know, Sankofa, go back and fetch it, you know? Sankofa is it means, you know, learn from the past so that you can be better for the future. And so I like to just gather that information to just make us... you know, better in the future. We're gonna carry this world. We already do. And then the children are definitely gonna be, you know, what's left behind. So we have to plant those seeds of just knowledge of self in them. So that's what I really like.
I like that. I like that a lot. Yeah. You can see why mindfulness is your topic, because you're mindful just in every aspect of what you do.
I try.
And I love it.
Oh, thank you.
Do you have any advice for the STEM-powered women, STEM-powered girls looking to get into the field, who are studying in the field?
Mm-hmm. So my advice would be, do nothing without intention. You know, Solange just put that in her latest album, do nothing without intention. Because intention really breeds motivation.
Ooh. I like that.
So if you feel like you're lacking motivation, then you need to realign with your intention. What are you doing this for? You know, you got to understand the purpose behind everything that you're doing, or else you end up wasting your time, or you start to feel resentment for what you're doing, or you just kind of lag behind. But just keeping your intention in the forefront, it just helps you to, you know, make progress on your own personal goals. And every design needs a blueprint. So you have to design your day. You have to design your career. And you have to go forth with your design in mind.
I completely agree. For an example, on intention, one time I had a lot of things planned that I wanted to do for a day. And so I went to church in the morning, and I told all my church friends, I was like, okay, this is what I want to do. I need to get this, this, and this done. And I did it within about 2 hours. Like, I went to church. Just 2 hours afterwards, I had completed all this long list of things I want to do that were on complete different sides of the city. And then I got home. I had to message all those church folks. I'm like, wait, I'm already back home. I finished. And then the friend was like, that's what happens when you work with intention. And yes. That hit me hard. When you move with intention, then you can get so much more done.
Yes, or else you will just be floating by. And
we need to have intent in every aspect of our lives.
Exactly, exactly. You know, even today is Saturday, it's a beautiful day. I have things that I want to do today. But if I didn't have that list of things that I wanted to do, I don't know, I might go to a bar or, like, you know, just waste time, like, you know, So it's just really mm-hmm. good to understand what you want to do and then move forward with purpose.
I agree. Thank you. Thank you. Do you have any more takeaways for the lovely ladies listening in? And men. Everyone could be listening.
I just want to say thank you so much for listening. And also, this is an amazing, amazing platform. I'm giving this to you.
Aw.
This is really, truly impactful for a lot of people. I know it is. Even, you know, when I think about when I was in high school, my physics teacher in 11th grade, she says, you know, Michelle, have you ever thought about engineering? And I was like, engineering's for boys, you know? And I had like the perception that engineering was for males. And, mm-hmm. you know, that, you know, I can create and I can design, but that's not engineering. But no, it is. That's the definition of engineering, you know, designing and then bringing it to fruition. So,
yep.
you know, just changing, having her, a female, and also my calculus teacher to say that, it just really changed my perspective. And I know that this work that you're doing with sisters in STEM is really changing perspectives and aligning them with, hey, you can actually do this. And there are sisters out here doing this. So,
yes,
I love it.
Thank you so, so much. Yes. Yes, there are plenty of sisters out here doing it, and we are doing it well.
Yes.
And that's why I got to feature y'all on this podcast. Thank you so much, Michelle.
Yes, thank you so much, Brittany.
Thank you for tuning into another episode of the STEM-Powered Women Podcast. I hope you learned something from our discussion that you'll be able to share with others. Visit sistersinstem.org for podcast episodes, stories and advice from your sisters, and much more. Make sure you follow us at The Sisters in STEM on all social media. You can also find me on Instagram at Brittany A. Joy. Whether you're listening on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, or wherever you get your shows, please subscribe so you'll know exactly when a new episode drops. And while you're at it, go ahead and give us 5 stars and leave an awesome review to show your sister some love. Remember, sis, you are an empowered woman, a STEM-powered woman. You've got this. I'll see you on the next one. Bye.